You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City Rehab Up. I am one of your hosts, Maggie Morgan, and with me today is the absolutely gorgeous, the over-the-top fabulous, the clear-skinned goddess himself, Jacob Jones. How are you today, Jacob?
Maggie, it's a filter. You can't tell. I'm using a filter when I come on and talk to you. I'm joking.
Every single time nacho, it's my raw. I see you in person, every single time I see you in person, your skin also looks like that. So, like, I just
I need a sponsorship.
On my Instagram. Yeah. What are your products? What do you use?
So I use this product called a Cure. Yeah, a skincare corner. I use a product called a Cure, and it's like at Target for like $9, and that's all I use. The thing is, I don't even moisturize my skin, which I know sounds horrible, but I don't moisturize at all.
Yeah, well, we should definitely probably change that.
No, because my skin is like, I feel clogged up when I put things on my face other than a cleanser. And like, I think it can like really dig deep, and I have naturally oily skin somewhat. Mm-hmm. And so it's not really that bad in the New York weather, in the New York winter. But yeah, I don't really moisturize. But they say black don't crack also. So, and I got injections.
I mean,
so.
Okay. Well, then there you go. Wow. I would have never guessed it. They look so natural.
My skin or my face?
You said you have injections. I don't even know where
I showed you. Didn't I show you a picture?
I don't remember now.
I showed you a picture of my injections.
I think you told me you wanted to get them. No, you told me you wanted to get them. And I was like, why are you doing that? You look amazing. I think it was literally on podcast.
No, I think it's body dysmorphia, to be honest. I think like when I look at someone else and I tell someone else, I'm like, Jacob, why are you getting that? When I look at myself, I'm like, okay, this could be up a little bit more. But I'm showing everyone, I'm showing Maggie a picture of my injections. And
wow. Tweet it, Jacob. Maybe he'll tweet it out.
Yes, that one I look like
it's for higher cheekbones?
No, I got it in three different places. I got it in my temple. I got it under my cheeks. And then I got it in my jaw.
Yeah.
So it's like in three different spaces. Yeah. It all fills up, lifts, and like snags and tightens in three different areas. So
your doctor did a fabulous job. I would never know.
Well, you know where you want to know where I got it from, right?
Beauty Lab?
Beauty Lab. Absolutely not. Well, honestly, Heather may give me a discount for this podcast.
I mean, let's tag Heather, guys. Let's get her let's get her listening. So I loved this episode. I thought it was so like, okay, before we started recording, Jacob was saying like this season is just so chaotic. And I was like, okay, let's just start recording and let's talk. I love getting on here and talking with you about this, Jacob, because I feel so sure in my opinions. And then you have the complete opposite opinion. And like, that's why this season also is so chaotic, because there's like, can be so much discussion about all of it.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I think this season is cracked. And I like that we can come in here and both share our different perspectives, because sometimes I learn things. I'm like, okay, maybe, you know, she is right. Maybe I can't see from that point of view. And I feel like it's vice versa. Mm-hmm. But I just feel like mm-hmm. it just adds to the conversation in such a beautiful way that I'm a fan of. So, yeah.
Yeah. And I think that that's what happens, though, when you have like a really good all around cast, because mm-hmm. like the people you can't stand are like my favorites and the people I can't stand are your favorites. But you know what I mean? Like, that's why like you don't just have like one person who's universally hated, which, you know, maybe we can talk this episode about. Perhaps maybe one person is going down the rabbit hole of being universally hated. But yeah, I just think that like there was so much, even like your number one, like get her off the show. She delivered tonight, Jacob. Jenny delivered.
Jenny delivered. Jenny did deliver. Yes.
I have opinions on it and I actually cannot wait to talk to you about it because like whenever there's a Jenny happy episode, I'm like, get me on a podcast with Jacob. So I do have actually like very strong opinions on it, but.
Okay.
Like, you can't deny that she was like, I'm going to do something crazy and I'm going to call everybody into a room so that they can hear me do the crazy thing.
I mean, I don't think it was
not crazy. She was like, I am taking my moment of confrontation.
She very well took her moment. She wanted everyone to be present for her moment. That is true. And.
Yes.
You understand? Or no?
We'll get there when we get there. Yeah. No, I really do because I also have mixed feelings about the whole thing. Yeah. I saw a lot of online discourse that was like, go Jenny, like point for her. She was great. But like, I have. Like we'll talk about it, I think, more in depth when we get there. But like, obviously, she was completely within her rights to call out Mary Cosby for her, you know, bullshit. Just I'll say it, complete and utter bullshit. Yeah. How dare you?
Yeah. I also think that like I saw a tweet when I looked at Twitter because people were tweeting yesterday and I watched the episode today. We record on Monday nights. The episode comes out Sunday nights. So I watched it a few hours ago before we started recording and I saw all of Twitter's, you know, discussion and it was two different sides of Twitter that I saw. It was some that are like, okay, Jenny, yes, you go. You had your moment. We're proud of you. Stand up for yourself. And it was on the other coin. It was, okay, Jenny, are you going to call out this other person for something that they said? And it was like, okay, did you have to do this in a group setting? Or it was some, it was, and people were saying, okay, we can talk about that. And yes, Mary was wrong, but can we also talk about the fact that, Jenny, in some ways, this is what they were saying, puts on a black scent when she's ready to turn up at someone. And so it was all these different voices that I was hearing and I saw every point of view. And yeah, I do think that Jenny was completely in her right to confront Mary about the comment that, you know, offended her
completely.
And yeah, we'll get into it when we get to it. And so I think it'll be a very interesting conversation because my thoughts aren't fully wrapped on it. And I think that's just like Jenny brought, I'll just leave it at this. Jenny bought it this episode. Yes, she did. She bought it this episode.
Yeah. And I think that like, it's very layered. Like there's so much with Jenny, because like you remember that very odd photo of her holding like the black baby in Times Square.
Yes.
Like there's like there is just like it's all so layered when it comes to all of this, and I really like that there is a lot of discussion. And I just found out maybe we should save it for tea time, but I feel like we should talk about this at the top of the episode because this will be the last thing the women have seen. The reunion films Thursday.
Oh, yes, 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 yes.
So this episode is the one they'll be leaving it on.
Well, no, they'll have the entire stuff. So right before the reunion, they give them like a DVD.
But this is Sure, but this is the thing that the audience has reacted to. Yeah. Where this is the last moment where they will understand the audience reaction and the gauge. So these tweets are the things that will be fresh in their minds. And some of the stuff we're going to talk about in tea time is literally about to come to a head on Thursday. So
hopefully the things that we're about to talk about in tea time, I'm feeling as though I don't think it's going to be a moment at the reunion, because I feel like these ladies are smart, and specifically, I'm a hint to it, Meredith, I feel like, is very smart. Mm-hmm. And I feel like Meredith at the reunion doesn't want too many enemies. And I feel like her and Mary, they still have a very strong friendship. Mary was just feeling attacked from all sides, and so she acted out in an irrational way on Twitter last night. But I do think that it's in Meredith's character to call Mary right after Mary tweeted and be like, hey, like, I love you, like, you're my girl, and like, we're going to this reunion, and not saying form an alliance, but in a sense form an alliance, because they have mutual disdain for certain people. And so I think that the ladies are smart, and the ladies are going to want to get their ducks in a row before they go there, and they're going to want to know who they're targeting and who's going to be with them. And so it's an interesting thing with reunions.
Everybody, Thursday morning, prayer circle for Lisa Barlow, because I do not know how she is going to get through this reunion.
She is
going
to be in the fire. Everyone thought, I think, coming into the season that Jen is going to be in the hot seat when it comes to reunion time, but no.
How? Lisa Barlow. And Jen is the one who actually get overshadowed by Lisa.
No, I feel like Jen will probably have it, not saying easy, but I feel like other than her tax stuff, but the money fraud and whatever, I feel like she will have a easy selling reunion. And so I hate that. I want people to yell at her. And I mean, but we don't know how it continues. It could be her last, but we also don't know. I wonder if the Bravo cameras are like, let's start recording the day after the reunion, because her trial's in March. So they're probably going to want to get all the stuff for her trial in before the cameras go. And so, yeah.
Oh, that's so fun.
They could do
that. Oh my God.
That's very interesting, right?
What if they film the whole trial and she gets convicted and they film her like literally leaving to go to jail?
Well, they did do that with Teresa from Jersey, so.
I know.
That's very likely. They had cameras there once she got out and when she went in. So it was, she'll probably get a nice check for that too.
Yeah, I mean, well, clearly this episode she's needing some money, so.
She's going to pawn those shoes at the end of the episode. But yeah, should we hop in?
I think we should. This is good. This was a cute little overview.
I saw, this is completely beyond the point, but I just brought it up, so I feel like I have to say it. I saw Vinny from Jersey Shore at the gym today.
No way.
Yeah.
In Manhattan?
In Soho. Yeah.
Wow.
I know, right? And yesterday.
How did he look? Did he look good?
He looked kind of normal. He had glasses.
Yeah.
He had an oversized jacket. I think he was going in when I was leaving. But also yesterday I saw a person from Too Hot to Handle at the gym as well. And they were snuggled up. Someone was grabbing on their ass. And it was one of the other cast members on the show. I'll give you the tea afterwards. But it was one of the other cast members from the show.
God,
and it wasn't one of the ones that they were dating or had anything with. Because the guy was in a relationship and the girl on the island was in a relationship, and then off the island she was in a relationship with someone. And so I saw it and I was like shit I wish I was TMZ right now. She's so good.
Oh my god, you should have texted Dumas.
I should have Dumas. But yeah, let's hop in.
Anon, please.
Yes,
I love it. Okay, so top of the episode. That's a teaser for the end. Top of the episode, it starts with Whitney setting up this wild rose party that is going to be the backdrop of most of the episode. And I was like, well, it must be getting warmer out because she's walking around in a pair of booty shorts and a long band tee, you know?
Wait, what's a band tee?
So a band, she's wearing Guns N' Roses t-shirt that she's wearing. But also this was just at the beginning, they do little vignettes of all of them at their house or place of business. Lisa Barlow is on her hands and knees in this sheer top, the sheer black top, cleaning out the toilet. And like, she made reference to their cleaning woman. And she was like, I just feel like she never does it, you know, to my liking. And her husband's like, okay, honey. Like, what?
It was very, like, why? It gave very staged to be like, oh, the cameras are coming. Let me do something normal. Let me go clean the toilet. You know what I mean? It didn't even seem like she knew how to really work the little scrub tool that you put in and clean the sides of the toilet. It was very funny. Also, loving John this episode.
Me too. Oh my gosh. Me too. Yes. I was going to say that.
Loving him.
Well, also, I think maybe I love him because he and Whitney's husband, Justin, are like clearly the only ones who aren't willing to talk mad shit and say disgusting comments about their wife on camera. So like,
Coach Shaw.
I like love them. Yeah. But Coach like will like partake in like the locker room talk that Seth usually is like perpetuating, you know, like Coach Shaw will be like, haha, yeah. And like throw in a jab.
Yeah.
But like, I'm like watching that whole sequence anyways, but no, I was liking him this episode too. I thought that he was really being really funny with Lisa because she was being crazy.
Yeah. Every time we saw him, it was a sarcastic joke that flew out. It was some type of like little banter comment. And I loved it. I loved every minute of it.
And Heather bought her business partner Dre a car.
Do you think that she just put the down? Excited. Do you think that she just put the down payment on the car and then sent Dre the monthly payments, or do you think she paid it off in total?
I think she paid it off in total. That doesn't seem like Heather to give someone a gift that they would have to make monthly payments on.
That, yeah, I know a lot of people who do that though. But yeah, it could be that way too. But I was sorry, I was reading an article about Teresa from Jersey and how her fiance allegedly gifted her a new car that he just put the down payment on and then put the leasing in her name. And so it got my mind thinking, and my mind always thinks that when someone gives someone a new car besides parents. And so, but yeah, Heather did do a nice little deed and give her business partner a new car. It was an Audi, I believe. It was beautiful.
It was really beautiful. So then like the first real scene of the episode is Jenny bringing her husband, Dewey, Cheesecake Factory at his chiropractor practice. And they're just like sitting, chatting. They're talking about their daughter who like won first place in art. And she is so stinking cute.
So cute.
Their daughter. Like she has so much personality.
What's her name?
And Carlin.
Okay.
And, Jenny's telling Dewey about the luncheon and that it was absolutely horrible. And he tells her, or she tells him about the slanted eyes comment that Mary made. And Dewey was like, horrified. He was like, no, I was like, we are told that as a slur. Like that is like a huge pain point for us. Like, what was she thinking? And I think like really having his wife's back, finally, for the first time we see Dewey have his wife's back, he's having his wife's back and really sort of emboldening her to stand up for herself in the situation.
Yeah. I like this scene. When I first saw this scene, I did write down, we finally have to see Dewey again. I did write that down immediately when we saw his face.
God.
But I also wrote down that I love Cheesecake Factory and I love the normalcy of the Salt Lake City housewives to go get fast food, to bring Cheesecake Factory and have lunch with their husband on the, the table that they crack bones on. It was a very cute and funny and light, but serious. And I feel as though we're finally seeing the type of man that Jenny probably sees more than what's shown on TV. I thought she's telling her husband the comment was very ignorant. I thought the moment was super funny and cute between them two. But yeah, I like that Dewey did support her and like her like, yeah, I'm going to go confront her. And just the background context for anybody who lives under a rock and didn't understand why that was an ignorant comment to make. They provided context.
Yeah. And I also thought like, and she touched on it later in the episode with like, there's so much Asian hate going on in the world right now. And this was had to have been filmed, Jen was arrested in January. So this had to have been filmed, in like March, April, which was like really when we were seeing so much anti-Asian violence in our country. And like, I started to see, you know, the Stop Asian Hate movement really sort of come to the forefront. And I was like, there's no, like, this is the time when it's like the most culturally relevant. There's absolutely no excuse to be making comments like this and say that you don't understand. And so I think that Jenny using her voice in this way is very important for the, you know, for the franchise and for the viewers at large.
Yeah, same. I liked it.
Yeah. And this brings us to this scene with Mary and Meredith at lunch, which is horrible, where they're debriefing about the pho lunch that they had the day before. And Mary is mimicking Jenny in like this really offensive accent.
Yeah.
And Meredith even says, yeah, no characters, please.
Yeah.
Like, what?
You saw it immediately on Meredith's face. Like, she like screw, it's like a screw face. She was like, let's not do that. And very ignorant of Mary. You can just put a tally down for all of the ignorant things that Mary has displayed this season, and the tone deaf things, and the stupid things, and the goofy things, and in a shitty, cruddy way. And I'm just, Mary, you're a woman of a certain age that has gone through certain life experiences. And Jenny has even pointed out that you are also, you're a Black woman, and just like, you in a sense should be more understanding of the things that you say and the magnitude that it could have. And like, you know, we Black people get stereotyped. People of the Hispanic race get stereotyped. People of the Asian race get stereotyped. There's all these different stereotypes that people have to endure. And it's for another person of color to kind of like pile on that. I could imagine the hurt that could be.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it was. And so in this moment, I was like, when my mom, something that she does, it's like, so when my mom and my dad got divorced very young, but anytime my mom gets pissed at my dad, just about something stupid, she'll like imitate his voice, like, oh yeah, and Jacob said this, like do that type of like dumbass, like stupid voice, like imitating like a man's voice. And I'm like, that was something that Mary was trying to do in her mind immediately. She's stupid.
No, Jacob, she is, because, you know, even later in the episode when Lisa's like, you said this, and Mary was like, I would never say that, when clear as day on camera she did. Like, I think that she just says shit and just doesn't remember and doesn't care enough to remember. Like, she's just completely careless with stuff like that. You know, it's just carelessness.
Did we see an apology from her on Instagram or Twitter?
No, this was doubling down last night. Like, there was a lot of doubling down happening last night
on Twitter about her comment. I see screenshots of what people like send, and also like I'm somewhat on like the reality TV thread, and so I get some tweets sent to me. But Mary, come on now. Like, in this conversation, she was saying, you know, mimicking Jenny and how Jenny was talking to her, how Mary felt Jenny was talking to her in a very stupid, ignorant way. Which Mary Cosby and her latest antics have shown her to be. And then they get to the point of talking about Lisa. And how like, and Lisa and Mary was saying how Lisa needs to control or talk to her friend, because Lisa's the one that brought Jenny to the group. And Mary feels as though Jenny has something out for her, always pinpoints her, always want to get rowdy with her. And this is what people on Twitter, and I was just like, I don't necessarily see this at this point, but people were saying, oh, like, why is Jenny oftentimes popping off on the Black girl, Mary? And they even referenced last week, I don't know if you remember, because I didn't really remember, I had to go back and see it, but Heather, I think, made a comment saying, oh, Jenny, you look like an anime character. Mm-hmm. And people were referencing that, oh, why wasn't that something that, like, you were up in arms about? So I wanted to hear your opinion about that.
I mean, I do think that if you, like, clearly, Heather saying that did not offend Jenny in the same way.
Yeah.
I do think that Heather should make an apology for that. You know, I don't think that that was an awesome comment to have made. I think that also it goes back to just like Jenny has a problem with Mary. Like she has, like they've gotten in several fights before. So obviously she's going to be more sensitive to what Mary is saying. That doesn't make it right. That doesn't mean that there's not some like double standard happening here. And I do think that like that is a question that should be posed to her. I hope they pose that question to her at the reunion. I would love to, see her take on it because, like that comment from Heather was not awesome either. I didn't realize that she said it either. I had to go back and watch it, but I was like, yeah, I mean, that's a great point. I think that for Jenny, like, her and Heather are friends and her and Mary are not. So like that is why she probably took Mary's comment much more to heart and was much more offended by it. But also that doesn't mean that Heather's comment was okay and she shouldn't be held accountable and Jenny doesn't deserve an apology for that.
Yeah. Either. And Jenny's response to that, like, oh, why would you say something to Mary instead of to Heather as well? Her comment, her like rebuttal could just be, oh, I wasn't offended by Heather's comment. I was offended by it. And like, it could literally just be, just be that. Mm-hmm. And that's also very valid. Like you weren't, but like, you know, other people of that descent, you may have offended them, Heather. And so like an apology nonetheless is due. But like Jenny's rebuttal could basically be that didn't offend me. What Mary said offended me. And that could call it a day, you know? And so not saying one is right and one is worse. But yeah, it's an interesting point to raise. And you're right. Like her and Mary have gotten into several arguments. So things that Mary says, she isn't going to take, even though Mary tried to scrub up and say, oh, you're beautiful. You're beautiful. I don't even want to repeat it. It was still like, yo, I'm not going to look at that in a nice way because we're not in a good place. You know, it could be that as well. But they were both out of line. But I did find it interesting when Mary wanted Lisa to kind of take control of her friend because she's the one that brought her into the group. And then Mary said, well, how are you? First off, Mary was proud of Meredith for going, quote unquote, going off on Lisa at the faux. Is it faux, right? Faux lunch?
Faux.
Faux. At the faux lunch. At the faux lunch. She was like happy that she like stood
it's
up
spelled
to her.
Like faux. So
but it's faux.
Mm-hmm.
She was happy. Yeah, so. And so Mary asked like Meredith, hey, so what is your relationship with Lisa? And Meredith was saying, and this is the point where I'm getting like so not confused because Meredith has always remained this solid point of saying how all the ladies diminish, how she feels as though all the ladies diminish what Jen has done to her and her family and what Jen has quote unquote done legally. But I just thought that was very interesting that Meredith is still like on that same point of that, you know?
I thought it's interesting too, because like she wants to have compartmentalized friendships with everybody. She wants to be able to be cool with everybody, but she's pissed that Lisa never just like took her side, which I do understand that hurt. Like I completely think that Meredith is very valid and that hurt, but she also has to look inward and see that she's doing that right now with Mary and Lisa. Like she's absolutely like Mary's has gone after Lisa on several occasions and Meredith has been like, well, like I want peace. I want, you know, chill. I want everybody to chill out versus being like, I'm on your side.
Yeah. No, you know? That makes sense.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? a woo-hoo-er, a hand clapper, a high-fiver. I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So then we leave that, you know, that sequence, and we go to what was probably like, I mean, I have so many thoughts on this. Lisa's son, Jack, is going to
the cringiest moment this episode. The cringiest.
I mean, okay. Lisa, I feel like, is the quintessential boy mom, like hashtag boy mom. Have you heard of this, Jacob?
No, I only heard of the Kobe Bryant girl dad or dad girl. Girl dad?
Okay, so a boy mom often, like women are sort of driven crazy. Women who end up with a guy whose mom is like, I'm a boy mom. They're sort of driven crazy because, like, she, like, low-key thinks that he, like, belongs to her still as, like, an adult man.
Okay.
And, like, low-key wants to, like, go on, like, this is, like, very much on TikTok I watch. Like, there's a lot of discourse around this conversation of, like, women raising their sons to be the partner that they wish they had. And I think Lisa's marriage with her husband is actually like really great. Like, I think that they're one of the most solid relationships on the show. But she like very clearly was like inserting herself in all of this. And maybe it was just like for the camera and she was playing it up, but it was so cringy. Like, she's trying, like, she has this photographer come over to take photos of him for the prom. And like, she wants to get in the photos.
Wait,
with
and
him.
The photographer the was so cringy. Comes. The photographer was so like, when he first got in the door, it was very awkward. Like, I mean, yeah, he's just coming in with camera, so I can feel some awkwardness there, but it was still so weird that like, he just came in. He was like, hi. And then like, gave Lisa, it was, if you go back, you can see his facial expression when coming in like, hi. Okay. Yeah, let's do it. It was very weird.
I would imagine this is like a behind the scenes thing where like they were like, okay, so you're going to walk in, stop right about here for lighting purposes and say that. And the guy's probably just like stiff as hell on camera. That's honestly why he likes to be behind the camera. But like Lisa, it was like he was taking photos of their son and then she was like, I want to get in them. But like her husband wasn't getting in, like they weren't family photos. It was just like her and her son. And then like the date came and she like wanted to get in the photos with the date. And then she like wanted to, like, Sammy is the girl, the name of the date. And like, she was so pretty. And when she got there, her son was like so cute and was like, oh my gosh, you look gorgeous. Like shouted it to her across the, like, it was very, very sweet.
But that awkward ass hug though, they had that awkward ass hug that was like, I would
die. I mean, they're like, what, 15?
Are they? I was wondering how old he was, because the prom, it could be a junior prom or whatever, but yeah.
Yeah. But she had like the, or she could be older and she asked him, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But she had the, what's it called? Not the boutonniere, the corsage. And Lisa was like, immediately just like went to put it on her, and her husband was like, Lisa, like, let him try, like, let him. And she's like, oh no, it's fine, I got it, and like deeply inserting herself in it. And I was just like, this is so embarrassing. Like, Lisa wishes she was going to the prom with her son.
Oh, definitely. But Lisa is effing stunning. Like, I like this whole clip, I was like, damn, like, Lisa Barlow. Damn.
That she's wearing that shirt, that blue was really striking on her.
That blue is really, and her signature straight hair is like in the center part. It's just also so. But yeah, this John was very funny in the background, kind of like a typical dad. Oh yeah, you know, do what you gotta do. And the mom, the one thing that she reminded me of is the mom from Mean Girls.
It's like the young mom. It's like, oh, come here. Like, literally just like making him pose.
Snacks, a condom. Love you guys.
Love you guys. That's so, you sound just like her. Maggie,
gorgeous.
I was about to ask, when are you like going to be in like the theater again or things like that? But that's an after pod conversation. It just hit me. I think you're amazing.
That's a post-pod convo.
It just came up when you imitate the voice.
I love you.
But yeah, love you, baby. But yeah, it was a very
Who's calling who a fraud?
Wait, did you see she got a sweatshirt made of that? Meredith
no,
did.
It just says,
I do. It just says, love you, baby. I think that's what it says. It just says, love you, baby. And it was gosh. Love you, baby. Bye.
Okay. I'll get that one for you. You get me the baby gorgeous one.
Oh my gosh. Yes. But yeah, very cute scene. I like seeing Lisa Barlow and her mom element because I feel like we gotten so many low key iconic moments from Baby Gorgeous to going through the fast food lines every turn to, hey, fix your chin, strong chin, sit up straight. Let me put it on. Let me help in the picture. You know, it's very, I like seeing her mom.
For sure. So the next sequence that we get is the scene with Whitney and Heather, and they're setting up for the Wild Rose party. It's just more like a lot more rehashing of like last week that Whitney feels like she has no money. But I think the big thing that comes out of this scene, is that Whitney starts like really hardcore gossiping about what Lisa said to her. About what Mary said when she went down in Vail to talk to her. And we talked about this last week, that when they went to do that little like thing in the cave, that Lisa completely twisted Mary's words and made it sound like Mary was like, yeah, this is what happens when you threaten Mary Cosby. Yeah. I got her. Yeah. And like Lisa made it sound like that's what Mary said. And that was not at all what Mary said. Mary was just like being like, well, her character is why she's there, you know, like, and my character is why I'm here. Like, that's all she was trying to say. But now Whitney has taken this and run with it. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I think that Mary is the one who called her. Like, she took her own transportation there. Like, I bet you she called them and told them that they were at Beauty Lab. And I bet you Meredith's private investigator found out. And so she told Mary, and that's why they're so on top of each other right now. Like, I bet you that, like, she like put on her Nancy Drew hat, and I feel like just made the complete wrong conclusion.
You know, like, that
this did not happen,
honestly. But you know that meme, I don't know if it's from Sunny in Philadelphia or it's from, I think it's from Sunny in Philadelphia, where the guy spazzing out, he has all this stuff behind him with like the red dots connecting. Yes. Someone tweeted and it was like, I bet Whitney has a board of red dots like connecting different things. And I was like, honestly, because she puts on this CSI hat almost every episode when she's trying to crack down to something. And it's like, Lisa, I mean, Whitney, calm it down, baby girl. Like, this isn't what she said. You're kind of spreading false information. And she did not say, oh,
information.
And having Heather say in her confessionals, I mean, I can kind of see Mary doing it, because Jen did tweet about her family, talk about her marriage. And then they're kind of making in their own mind of why it would make sense for Mary to then go and snitch on Jen. But I do love, you know, out of all the BS that is Mary Cosby, I really like her friendship with Meredith. I like something, and I've always said that. Now I was very heartbroken when I logged onto Twitter last night and saw what transpired. But I really like, you can call it a friendship, you can call it an alliance, you can call it, I just F with you for the show, but I need someone to F with really heavy, so I'm choosing you. You can call it all of that. But I just really like their type of relationship, and how like when one leaves, the other runs after them, and that sort of thing. I don't know. I know a lot of times even Jenny was like, oh, Mary's leaving, Meredith's running after her. Last time Meredith left, Mary was running after her. And so I can kind of see that, but I don't know. I just have a soft spot for their little relationship. What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, I think that maybe like, I don't know. I think it's weird. Like, I think it's weird, but I also think, like, we've talked about this so many times. I think it's just totally rooted in the fact that, like, Mary reached out to Brooks and was, like, treated her son with great kindness when he was getting really attacked. And I think that Meredith will never forget that. you know.
Doesn't that feel like so long ago that we were talking about Brooks Marks and him being called a sissy bitch? That seemed like so long ago.
To be fair, it was like 15 weeks ago.
Oh, so that was so long ago. Yeah. Damn. Yeah.
Like, to Maggie, be fair, it was like 15. 4 months ago. Mm-hmm.
This is podcast 15. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
We're veterans.
I know.
Honestly.
We are Salt Lake City historians at this point.
Yes. People can ask us who got married to who. Who was the monarch? Is that something in Mormonism, monarchy or no?
Matriarchy.
What is a monarch?
But I don't think that that's super. A monarch is like a king.
Okay, that's what I was thinking.
Matriarchy is like a woman-run household.
Is it different? Is it because a king runs a monarchy and a woman runs a mariarchy? Not a mariarchy. What was it?
Matriarchy.
Matriarchy? Is that?
Matriarchy.
Is that
the
difference?
A matriarchy is sort of like the idea of, like in a lot of people's nuclear families, like the woman, the mom runs the household, like she's the matriarch of the family.
Gotcha.
Okay. But yeah.
I was wondering if it was a different title because it was a woman.
Yes. Instead of like the monarchy. No, it is still the monarchy because there's the Queen of England, but it is a monarchy.
Okay, gotcha, still. Gotcha. Okay, perfect. Gotcha. Understand. Mm-hmm. That little geology lesson. Is it geology?
Geology.
Oh my, moving on. Right. I don't need this to be anywhere.
I mean, yeah, if you did not listen to the RAGP best moments of 2021, it had Jacob Jones written all over it. I think you were in like 40% of the clips, actually.
It was so funny.
Okay, so the next scene is Jen and her mom are talking. Jen's mom arrives at her house and they are making kits for the American Tongan Society. And Jen says that the case is all consuming. In quotes, I have this written. The case is all consuming. So it's nice for her to get her mind off of it and do things for other people. So, yeah, Jacob, why don't you give your take?
I feel like we talked about this. I don't know when it was or what Jen was doing when we brought this up. But it does seem as though an image cleanup is happening with Jen Shaw. Some type of, let me present myself in the best manner after X, Y, and Z because I'm going through X, Y, and Z. And I want X, Y, and Z to think of me X, Y, and Z way. And so it during this whole scene, it just seemed very staged and inauthentic. And it could be very well that like, hey, they really contribute to this organization or this charity, but it just didn't seem authentic to me. I don't know.
I will say, obviously, a huge part of Jen's storyline on season one is her relationship with her, you know, she is Native Hawaiian, she's Tongan. Yeah. So like that is like a big important thing to her. So I'm not trying to belittle that. I think that it's great that she's like talking about her culture and this American Tongan Society that it seems really helps people. But you know, 2 weeks ago we got the sequence with Coach Shaw and the biscuits and the praying over the dinner. And then we got the Abby Lee Miller wig last week. And now we have this. So like, you know,
not Abby Lee Miller.
It's nice to see this side of her. It actually is like, I'm not complaining. I don't mind these scenes, but just like, don't treat us like we're stupid, Jen.
Just don't treat us like we're stupid.
You know,
Jen is a very charming person. And I think we've both like could attest to that in different moments, that we've seen Jen, like when she wants to really charm you, she can, and she has that ability. And we've even echoed that point of why Heather kind of goes back, numerous times, because of like the charming nature that is Jen Shaw. But this moment.
So she tells her mom that they're downsizing, and she does something that like really, like she sort of like freaked out a little bit and was like, I'm always there for people. Like, I need support right now. Like, I need support. Like, I've been, like, asking and begging for support from people. And, like, I think it's very clear that when this happened, a lot of these people who she thought like she had wrapped around her finger in her life. Or, you know, if you want to take it the negative way, you can say like a lot of the people that she thought she had wrapped around her finger, like me, that's how I would say it. But also the people that she thought really were there for her and her close friends and family and her support system that she has supported really sort of went away. Like, I think that this was a huge ego blow to her. And she realized actually how few people she had who like really like when the shit hits the fan, who are going to stay.
Yeah.
And I think she's really, really struggling with that. But like very clearly her mom is 1,000% on her side. She cashed out her retirement and is going to sell her house to try to help Jen meet the $2 million, for the lawyer. Retainer for the lawyer. And it's really sad. It's really, really sad.
Her mom's like, well, I'm going to need a room in y'all's house when it comes down to it.
If this alleged crime is true, she is found guilty. I mean, the people she's hurt, it's not just her victims. Like, she's hurt everybody in her life, you know? Yeah. Like, it's really, really awful.
This is so depressing.
So let's talk about the Wild Rose Party.
Beautiful, beautiful event. Beautiful gowns.
Gorgeous gowns. Beautiful wigs.
Beautiful.
Some wigs that were beautiful.
Also, women sniffing other women's husbands, which I thought was really weird.
Really, I didn't like that.
I wrote that down. Maybe Coach Shaw was like, "Well, Jen about to go away. Let me look for a little snowflake." But I'm not really liking it.
Stop it, Jacob.
I'm done. They were at a Wild Rose, so you know, a little snowflake. Well, I thought, I was about to say a snowflake was a flower, but no, it's an icicle. But yeah, we digress. But yeah, we saw you call Shaw.
I thought it was cute. I thought it was cute that she had them all wear like neutrals and blush tones, and then she wore red, you know, because she's the Wild Rose. I thought that it was cute.
Wait, I didn't even pick up on that.
Yeah, like, so she had them all sort of wear like a neutral color palette.
Lisa Barlow touched on that when she was getting dressed for her husband. But mm-hmm. Okay, now it really makes sense. I got you. You about to sneeze?
Maybe not.
When someone catches you in a sneeze, you don't do it.
Mm-hmm, totally.
But a sneeze sometimes is like sex. I don't know if you knew that.
Hmm?
A sneeze?
Why?
People say a sneeze simulates you like, you know.
Yeah, maybe I don't have the right sneezes.
But that's what they say. It's a thing of relief.
I've never quite felt that.
Really?
Have you?
A good sneeze. It will take me there. Oh my God. Okay, keep it going, Maggie.
Is that why you don't take your allergy medication?
Absolutely. Absolutely. When I'm at work. Anytime.
You guys, this podcast is just off the rails. We've gone rogue. We've gone off the rails. And this episode was 40 minutes. We're already 44 minutes into it, and we are not halfway through the episode. Okay?
Oh my gosh. No, literally.
Okay, I'm going to make this the ad break. Okay. Yeah. We'll be back after these ads.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Ooh.
And we're back. We've never done that before. It's very professional.
Can we start doing that, though?
Of podcasting.
Can we do that now?
Sure.
Okay, perfect.
Sure. I think that's probably the easiest for SSP. Yeah. Okay, so on the way, Mary tells Meredith that she's only coming because Meredith wanted her to be there. But what I was going to say, I thought Lisa was being really nice to Whitney at this party. She was being really supportive. She said really nice things to her about her products. And like, you know, she was like, I thought that I was like, wow, I'm really glad it seems for now. I mean, clearly not, because Heather was online yesterday talking some stuff about, you know, Lisa, but like, it seemed like for now they had made peace, like at least at this time, you know?
Yeah.
After Vail, they like really had tried to make peace.
I mean, I think even you saw like when they went to the cave, and I think a trade of information, and in some cases, like once you have like a, people say this, and I think they both have a mutual disdain for Mary, and people say that oftentimes brings you closer together when you have a mutual enemy. Mm-hmm. And so it could be some of that. But yeah, I mean, I thought. Yeah, I mean, yeah, and now they had pointless beef to begin with, to be honest. They had really pointless beef. Mm-hmm. And so to get over that I feel like was very easy, but to maintain on that stride is going to be the difficult part. And obviously they're not sticking to it.
Because their beef is just that they straight up don't like each other. Basically. Like, it's not anything the other person did. It's that they just like don't enjoy each other. But anyways, so Heather gets her tray of meatballs. Is it even a party if we don't see Heather with a meatball in her hand? You know, like, she likes those meatballs in her mouth. What can she say? So Jenny has the boots that Mary gave her. Moving on. You got a meatball in your hand and you're sneezing, Jacob. I know where to find you at a party. Anyways. Nowhere near the cats, that's for sure.
Nowhere near the cats.
So, Jenny has the boots at this party that Mary gave her as a gift in Vail. And Heather was like, why do you have the boots? And she's like, well, I'm giving them back to Mary. And Heather was like, you are stone cold at Whitney's party? And this was the thing that I was like, I mean, this is being a terrible friend. Like, you're just going to ruin Whitney's night for the sake of, like, drama and the show. But also, like, it's good for the show. Like, this is the main issue that I had with the way that Jenny did this, is this was all about, this should have been all about Whitney, and she made it completely about her. Like, she stole the moment, and she made this her moment when it's, like, Whitney's party that she's, like, put her blood, sweat, and tears and $300,000 into, you know? So Heather says in this confessional, she's like, yeah, Mary's an asshole, but I'd shut my mouth to keep the shoes. You know, like,
they're beautiful shoes. They were really beautiful shoes. And I think Jenny delivered this episode, and her bringing the shoes was a big moment and a talked about moment and a dramatic moment. But it's oftentimes confuses me with Jenny, because I think it's kind of like, does she want to just talk about the thing that hurt her, or does she want to make a moment? And in some ways that can be two in one, you know, you can do both. But with her, I just oftentimes feel as though it's with a lot of these reality stars, sometimes it doesn't come natural to them. And sometimes for me, when I see Jenny's antics, it just takes me to a place of like, not really like who she is. And you're on a reality show where you have to deliver, So you're not always probably going to be who you are. And you know, at certain moments, you have to like, oh, let me make a moment right here. But with the other ladies, I feel as though their actions have been true to how they probably would react. But with Jenny, I just, in numerous times of her popping off or her doing this, I just feels like she sees the camera, wants to make a moment, and it goes above and beyond the call of duty. And I think that's the aspect.
That's a great
that I
way to phrase it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's such a great way to phrase it, is that she's like, oh, it's time for me to make a moment. So I'll make a moment. I do think that the first time we really saw Jenny's like true reaction, that like actually was a moment, that she was not trying to make a moment, was at the Peace Garden, when she was like, you're lying, Mary.
Oh yeah.
Like, I think that that was like, you know, that was like basically the quote of the episode, right? Like, you're lying, Mary. And she was like, just completely back on her heels. But like, that's what we want more from Jenny. Like, we want that fire, but like, we want the authenticity behind it versus like, you know, but how are you supposed to give back shoes without like making it a moment? You know,
I mean, I like, know. You could send them back to her. Like, I feel like you can, like, if you, I mean, yeah, you want to do that on TV. And so that's the tricky part with reality television. Mm-hmm. How do you make it real, but also still convey yourself as being real? And I think with Jenny, it can fall sometimes on the wayside with that. But I think she tried. And she got, I think, a lot of people on her side with, okay, Jenny is a rock star. Jenny is iconic. Jenny is not iconic, but Jenny is like the moment for this episode. Mm-hmm. And I think she did what she got the reaction that she wanted to, with like the crowd's reaction. Hopefully she doesn't have that as a gas can and go to the reunion and say like, oh, these fans love me now. And so I'm going to like really do the most at the reunion when you weren't really central to any that much drama that was going on besides your beef with Mary. And that was it. And so I just hope that she doesn't overdo it at the reunion based off of the crowd's reaction of, oh, kill Mary, go after Mary, let's do this. And I feel like that could be on her mind through the entire duration of the reunion. Oh, let me get Mary's ass together. Let me do, like, you know what I mean? There's a time and place. Yes, get Mary's ass together because her ass deserves to get together. And it's the reunion where you relive all these moments, but don't overdo it where it comes off as inauthentic. And I think when that lands, and I don't know how you do that effortlessly, I feel like the other ladies have. I feel like even Whitney and her psychoanalysis of the events on Real Housewives of Atlanta, I mean, Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, I feel like they're still truth to like, oh, this is something like, this is how her mind works. We see the background of her thinking about this probably off camera as well. You know, and even with Jen is very transparent. And we see like, okay, like, we see you pop off when we see that being your authentic moments. And we know when you're trying to like save face or be this X, Y, and Z nice person. And then we have Lisa Barlow, who I feel as though Lisa Barlow knows her role. And this is the part that I can't wrap my mind around because I don't think this is natural for Lisa Barlow either. I don't think Lisa Barlow is a messy person or a gossipy friend or just like how she is on the, I don't think that's her, but I think she conveys it in a way of, damn, I don't know how to put it. I don't know how to put it or if I'm even making sense, but it's just the way that
I think Lisa would let 90%, if this was not on a television show, she would let 90% of what is going on go. Like, she wouldn't push the issue anymore.
Yeah.
And she would just make peace and she wouldn't care. But because it's a show, she's going to bring it back up again, which makes it way more messy.
Yeah.
Like, I think that Lisa is messy, actually. Like, I think Lisa's totally messy. But I think that it never gets this far in real life because she doesn't push it that far.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I think she's very quietly messy. Like, here. Like, I do think, like, the caterer thing is totally something that she would have done on the show. But like, I think that because it was the show that it became this whole huge thing and she got messier and messier and messier and messier.
And we see Lisa Barlow in certain different events also trying to clean up the shit that she's done. Like even with the caterers.
Yes,
oh, let me try to defend my name after what happened, or like X, Y, and Z. And even with the shit talking Jen. Oh, let me try to clear my name and let me try to get myself out of the situation, which then prolongs the issue even more with her trying to defend and her trying to cultivate this different argument that wasn't even there. So yeah,
totally. We have to talk about some of these looks because what the hell was Meredith wearing?
I honestly thought everyone looked
like
cute.
No, it looked like a lavender blazer that she had super glued giant peacock feathers that she got from Joann Fabrics on.
I mean, do we see how her son literally staples his name on every suit? And so doing this isn't, I feel like, that too far off from the apple or the tree or whatever you may call it. So yeah.
One thing I really noticed, Jacob, was the shot of Jen walking in. She looked so uncomfortable and so unsure of herself. I was like, this has like she is so nervous to be there right now. Like she really, and it looks like in the preview for next week, like Jen Shaw is back.
Yes.
You know, like she's back
before. The Jen Shaw is back.
But like, yeah, exactly. The Jen Shaw is back. But like, she, this episode at the Peace Garden, like she looked like she was so scared and uncomfortable to be there because she was like, I know everybody's talking about me right now.
Yeah.
And I thought that that was really, like, my heart went out to her in that moment. Like, it did. How can it, you know, I'm a human. How can it not, you know, like, I mean, and then you remember what she allegedly did and you're like, well, but like, she just really looked like she was going through it. And okay. So after that, then we get this whole sequence with the guys and like Meredith's husband is a pig. Jacob, he's a pig. Seth, I cannot with Seth.
No, Seth is disgusting. Seth is disgusting.
He's a
and
pig.
Seth is horny. Seth is like a frat guy in college that, yeah,
yes.
He's a pig. He's a pig.
He is so embarrassing. And he like literally, okay, so Justin is over there. He's hyping up Whitney and he's like, yeah, she's making all these amazing business moves. And Seth's like, does she play golf with you? And he was like, yeah, she does. Is that bad? And they all start laughing because, and Seth says, the whole point of golf is to get away from your fucking wife. And I'm like, oh, well, I guess you hate your wife and Justin loves his wife. So fuck off.
Seth, I'm sorry. You cannot come to the podcast. But no, I think
Seth is not invited.
I think Seth only has bro-y friends who probably work in accounting and like go to bars and has like Bud Light on the weekend and goes golfing with shorts and then, you know, looks at girls in bars, TBH. I mean, we've seen the comments that he's made, you know, at bars with talking about his wife to the other husbands, which were disgusting. Seth is a Neanderthal. Point blank, like, period.
I'm sorry. I just never have and never will find jokes about absolutely hating your wife funny. Never.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sad for you that you, like, hate your wife. And I'm happy for Justin, but he loves his wife and wants to hang out with her all the time.
Loves to go golfing.
Like, you know, yeah, like he likes her so much that he wants to golf with her and spend as much time with her as possible. Anyways. Oh, also, this was super weird too. So then we get the weird sequence of them like sniffing Coachella. Also, Angie is asking Dewey if he's a doctor. And he says he's a doctor of love.
Which was very creepy. Very creepy. Very creepy. It's like, are all these men trying to get out of their marriage? I mean, he is looking for a sister wife. Throwing that rod out there, child. Throwing that rod out there. But yeah, from that, and then Angie and another girl were sniffing Coach Shaw's cologne, which I thought was very weird. And it was in, and he was kind of like loathing it and like, oh yeah, you know, my wife, I'm glad he did say, oh yeah, it was whatever my wife bought me, you know, whatever she buys me, I wear. And I'm like, please let them know. And they already do know or should know. And then Dewey making the comment.
Yeah, of course.
And I think I forgot about Angie in her
Angie
return.
Angie wants to be a housewife so bad.
So bad.
She wants to be a housewife so bad.
She is married. I remember her.
She's married.
Very questionable behavior, Angie.
She's beautiful, though.
Oh, gorgeous.
Absolutely beautiful.
Fucking gorgeous.
Every time I see her, I'm like, wow, she's stunning.
Sarah Paulson.
Yes. Okay, so this is the last big chunk. Jenny gathers all the women together, which, and I wrote in parentheses, this is tacky as fuck to do at Whitney's party, because she wants them all to be present when she confronts Mary.
Yes.
So she confronts Mary about her slanted eyes comment. She brings up all the Asian hate that's running rampant in the country right now. And Mary's like, oh, well, I love it. Like, I think that they're beautiful. And she looks at Meredith and she's like, do you think that it's bad to say that? And Meredith says, oh, well, I wouldn't say it, but I don't know if it's offensive. And all of the women are just like stunned. And Heather's eyes basically pop out of her head. And she like looks at her like, what? And everyone in the confessionals is like, Meredith, hello. And Jen has a confessional, which I was like, oh man, like I wish we could have gotten more of this from Jen, because I would have loved to see Jen get in there, because Jen is very smart, especially when it comes to racial issues. Like, she is very smart and she is very proud of her heritage. And I would have loved to see her. She's like, slanted eyes. I did not hear that. Wish I would have heard that one, because I know that Jen Shaw would have taken care of it in the moment. Like, she would have taken care of it. But it was just very much like uh-oh when Meredith said that.
Yeah, I think this props for Jenny for bringing it up. It should have been brought up. I'm about to go to my notes because you could see the different ranges of emotions on Mary's face and in her delivery and what she said about that issue being raised to her. Because it does not matter. But in Mary's mind, I don't think that Mary was saying that comment to be offensive. I think she's ignorant and stupid where she didn't know that was an offensive term, or she should have known that it wasn't. But I think she said it in a pureful way in her own mind, her own sick mind. And for a comment of racial magnitude to come at a black woman, I could see like, wait, me? Like I said that. And I think when Jenny first confronted her about the issue, it was like, wait, what? She took offense to it immediately. You can see that she did. She took offense to it, I think, for multiple reasons, because for one, this is on a national platform where you're being called out for your racially charged comments. And that's not, or it will not paint you in the best light. And you yourself are a person of color that has gone through probably stereotypical views and rhetorics and other people's minds. And so you would never want to be on the opposite side, pushing those stereotypes to another person of color. And you just saw the range of emotions that Mary was displaying. I did not like that she, in that moment, was just like, well, and the fact that she first said it again, well, I really like, you know, X, Y, and Z thing that she said before. I just don't want to repeat it. I don't like that she doubled down on that thing, but I don't think it hit her until later, because she did say, well, I do apologize like about that. She said it very coy, very quickly, because I don't think she wanted to do it, get it over with. Let's talk about somebody else, something else very quickly. And she made she made the apology very coy. And so if I was Jenny, if I would have heard that, I probably wouldn't have thought, oh, this is coming from a genuine place, because first off, you said it again and then you doubled down on it. And then you gave me a very quick apology. And I think that's what Whitney was getting at the end of this whole debacle, when she said, I don't want to move past that. This was effed up, basically. And I think that's what Mary was really trying to do. I don't even want to say props to Mary for giving an apology, because that's the common decency thing to do. I'm commending her for being an average human being with morals and respect for other people and for other races and for other cultures. Tell me your thoughts. I know that was a lot that I just said.
Well, I think, I think that is so... it was really well said. And I think that we've been saying this whole time, like, it is very layered. And I do think that it is a bit, it's very layered, because, you know, I'm a white woman watching this, and I'm watching these women of color have these nuanced conversations about race. And you bringing the perspective in, Jacob, of Mary being like surprised, because she's like, wait, no, not me. What are you talking about? Not me. Like, I know what it feels like to have somebody make a comment like that about me. But that doesn't mean that she still didn't make the comment, you know? But I also think that there is something, really important to the dynamic of the fact that Mary is the only black woman there sitting there.
Yeah.
And you did bring up earlier, you know, that like Jenny immediately had a problem with Mary, and Mary has a lot of Mary's got a lot going on. So I don't want to speak for Jenny or call anything out and say that is the reason, but that couldn't have made that absolutely, I'm sure, contributed to Mary feeling singled out by her.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think that there is a lot of nuance to the experience overall. And I'm so grateful to be doing this podcast with you, who is able to point out things like that and, you know, really tap into dynamics that I wasn't even thinking about when we started this podcast. So just thank you for all of that. I think that that's very, important to keep in mind and to share in the situation at large.
Yeah, and even going back to the Meredith not really serving the tea of what, like, yo, this is the offensive comment, and now you're kind of like, oh, well, I wouldn't say it, but I don't know if it's offensive or not. No, you knew it was offensive because you wouldn't say it. Like, you're not going to say that because it's an offensive ignorant comment to make, so you know that.
And immediately you said, don't do the character, please.
Yes.
At lunch, like, you knew.
And I mean, people, I do see a lot of, you know, even the cast members, oh, are y'all scared of Mary? Some of that could be true of where Meredith was like, I don't want to completely, you know, out her in this group forum. You know, she, one, is my friend. Two, hell, I don't know. It's first off, it's no excuse for that. You should have called it out when Mary looked at you and was like, yeah, that was an inappropriate comment. You should not have made it. You should have just stuck with your guns and didn't really, you know, kind of act in a supporting, not really supporting, but like not really giving it like it actually was. And then, wait, what are you about to say?
Also, like, you can't say, sorry, you just can't say like, oh, I don't know if it's offensive, if Jenny is sitting there saying it's offensive. Yeah. Like, there's such a, you don't have to say like, wow, Mary, yeah, like you said a racist offensive comment. Like, you don't have to put your friend on blast like that in front of everybody, but you can say like, oh, I wouldn't have said it, and Jenny is now explaining to us that it's hurtful to her.
Yeah.
So like, you definitely, I think, owe her an apology if it's hurtful to her and she's taking the time to explain why and how. You know, like, there's just a much better way for Meredith to handle that.
Yeah, definitely. And I think you said that really beautifully. Like, Jenny is there saying this is offensive. So in your mind, as a person that was on the receiving end of that comment, you don't have a room to question it. You don't have a room to question it at all. You know what I mean?
That's literally what we, like, I feel like anybody who is trying to be actively anti-racist in 2020 had to have learned that, like, just because you don't have an experience, like, believe the people of color in the room who are telling you about their experience and about their feelings about your words or your actions. Yeah. Like, bare minimum, that's what we should be doing. So the fact that then, like, for it to be dismissed, to be like, as Jenny's sitting there saying like, this is offensive, Mary looks at her and says, Meredith, do you think it's offensive? Like, then you, bare minimum, you should go, well, Jenny has said it is offensive.
Yeah. No,
like, that's all you have to say. Minimum.
Yeah, you should have. And yeah, and again, Mary gave a very coy, very quick, very brief apology. Very like, oh, yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it. And, you know, moving on. And then it raised the second issue that Mary said when they were in Vail, when it was, they were going into the gin debacle, and Mary and Lisa were talking, and how Mary said to Lisa, do you still have it written down? Or it was a long time ago.
No, I don't. But it's, she called, she said that she feels like it's the cartel, like those Mexican thugs.
Yes.
Like, that's who Jen is.
Yes. And that comment got raised up, like the Mexican thug comment. And I like group events for the chaotic moments. No, I don't think this was the time nor place to do it. It's your friend's event. You should have honed it in. And I do think, in a sense, yes, Jenny should have brought this up. She had every right to bring this up out, and she had every right to confront Mary and get like a, hey, let me tell you why this is offensive. Like, you're in my group, even though we aren't friends, we're in the same group right now. But I also thought it was a moment to honestly embarrass Mary in that same moment, and having. And again, I want to continue to say, yes, these issues should have been raised to Mary in the first place. But I also think it's different ulterior motives on when you bring it up, why you bring it up, and who you bring it up around. And I think a lot of that came into play of trying to shut Mary down, trying to embarrass Mary. And if she wanted to do that, I mean, you have a problem with her, do what you want to do. But then I could also get on the same point of why Mary, because Mary ended up leaving, and she left right after her and Lisa got into a discourse, and Lisa brought up the Mexican comment while Jen was sitting there. And she said, well, you also said this offensive comment that I didn't really like.
About comparing Jin to Mexican thugs. And then you saw the look on Jin's face, like, wait, what? And then Elisa was, mm-hmm. I mean, Mary was like, no, I did not say that. We are, you know, I did not say that when you clearly did. The tapes are there. And I think that brings about your point and that you also, made the first part of mm-hmm. this podcast where you're like, I think she just says things and blurs things out and she doesn't even remember that she said those awful shit.
But in the confessional, when she's in that green shirt, this, I was like, okay, what's happening? Like Lisa's like, Mary was like, I didn't say that. Like, I wouldn't have said that. That doesn't sound like me. But maybe if I did say it, it was because why were the helicopters after Jen? Were the FBI after her? Why was Homeland Security after her? That's for the cartels. They do that for the cartel. Like, she like suddenly is having like the realization and she's like, you know what? I did say that. And this is why. And it's like, Mary, stop freaking talking about it. Like, stop it. Stop. Like, you, that is just so, yeah. so horrible. But also, before Mary leaves, we can't skip over this because this was honestly iconic in the episode. When Jenny gives the shoes back and she says, Lisa told me that the shoes were originally meant for Jen. So again, Lisa Barlow, you will see snake. You know, Jenny was like, I'm going to bring up what happened. I'm going to bring up the comment that she made that, you know, I agree with you, Jacob. I shouldn't be repeating it either.
Yeah.
The comment that she made, and I'm going to return the shoes. And I bet you Lisa was like, oh, that's great. I'll bring up the other comment that she made in Vail. Like, you know that they had that conversation.
Yeah. Housewives love the plot. They love the scheme.
So she says that, you know, Lisa told her that the shoes were meant for Jen, and Mary, you left the receipt in the box. Like, also, it's really insulting in my culture to re-gift a gift to somebody. And Mary's like, okay, I never wore the shoes. I bought them. They didn't feel good on me. Sorry, I left the receipt in the box. I didn't mean to do that. And it was hilarious.
And they were on sale, right? They were on sale and it had the blue sticker or the red sticker on the receipt.
Yes. And and she passes over the shoes to Jen, and Jen opens up the shoes and she goes, you don't want these? And Jenny's like, no, I don't want them. And she pulls them out and she goes, okay, thanks, Jen. Or, thanks, Mary. And her and Heather have this look that they exchange. And like you said, you know that those are going on eBay.
No, literally.
Worn once by Jen Shaw. Maybe she'll wear them to court and she'll sell
them. You know what this scene reminded me of? If you remember, tying this to Big Brother, but Celebrity Big Brother, when Tiffany Pollard in the UK, Tiffany Pollard and Gemma went back at it, and Tiffany delivered her iconic line saying, she said those shoes should be worn by a beautiful woman. If that's the case, she should have left them back on the rack and she should never even purchase them. Do you remember? Have you seen that moment or no?
Of course. Okay, I was perfect. 9 years old watching that.
Hey, were you,
Maggie, really understanding.
You were not nine.
You no, were, I wasn't.
I was
what,
about to say,
what,
is,
what was the?
Because I was a freshman in college. I was a freshman 2015. I was a freshman in college.
Okay, then I was at junior college. Wait, what is that? What show was she on?
Celebrity Big Brother UK.
Oh, okay. Celebrity yes, UK. Yes. But I was 11 years old watching her on the original Flavor of Love 2. Like I was watching her. Same. When I was in eighth grade doing I Love New York. I was watching her. It's so inappropriate. I was 12.
No, see, I was watching Double Shots at Love with Tila Tequila, literally in my room. I had to keep my TV at low so my mom wouldn't walk past and hear.
Oh my God. Literally, we had the same life.
And I would sit like this close to the TV, like so I can hear everything, like do it. It was insane.
I was for sure not allowed to watch Double Shot at Love, and I did absolutely.
Oh my God, so
oh
chaotic.
My gosh, that is,
but yeah,
the shoe moment
happened, and you know, and I think Mary at that moment felt ambushed. A lot of things were coming out for her, and
completely.
So, and then
well,
her,
she was, she, at,
no,
at
she
that
was,
point.
Yeah, no, she definitely was,
uh-huh.
And I think her and Lisa got into some discourse. And Lisa called her a liar, and then Mary then walked off. But wait, there was something that I wanted to bring up. Oh, I wanted to bring up this, and this happened, I think, before this whole event. Do you remember when Whitney was in her confessional and she said, I like my friends how I like my skincare products, cruelty free, toxic free, mm-hmm. and things like that, right? Do you remember
that
comment?
Yeah, I wrote it down. It Yeah, I wrote it down. I like my friends how I like my skincare. Non-toxic and cruelty-free.
Well, someone on Twitter pulled a receipt of one of her friends, how they were at the riot of the Capitol. So,
Jacob,
and
no.
I think that was the friend that was on camera. It was not Angie, but it was the girl by Angie. Yeah. Cause they had the screenshot of the girl on the show.
What?
And so, yeah. And then they had a screenshot of the girl. Cause I guess she posted it on Facebook or something of the girl at the ride at the Capitol. So yeah. How about you check your friends, Whitney? But I'm honestly not surprised. Whitney, I ain't gonna get into political conversation, but yeah.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Yeah. Okay. On that note, so the last bit of it is basically that Lisa Barlow goes running after them, tries to talk to Meredith. Meredith is basically like, leave me alone, completely blows her off. Lisa's like, how dare you?
Yeah.
She's like, fine, Meredith, fine. You know what? Fine. And then she goes to try and find Mary. And Mary says that she tells Lisa to her face that she thinks she's two-faced and she judges her. Mary ain't wrong. Lisa is judgmental and she is two-faced, but that is my girl. Okay.
And you're going to stick beside her.
We started the season and I'm going to stick beside her. That's my baby. I say that's mine. It's so funny. When we started the season, I was like, Mary Cosby, endlessly iconic, obsessed. Lisa Barlow, tacky. And now I am like, Lisa Barlow, I stan. Like, I need the baby gorgeous sweatshirt that doesn't even exist.
No, she honestly should capitalize on it because that's such a moment in history for Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. Lisa Barlow will probably be the longest running housewife on Salt Lake City.
Do you think?
If they go on and make like season 10, all the ladies aren't going to be there. I feel like she will be the longest OG from Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. Yeah, I do.
Well, I do think she gets that seat next to Andy at this reunion.
Oh, for sure does. Oh, well, I mean, 100%. Mm-hmm. I mean, do you know how many tomatoes and glass of champagne and rosé are going to be thrown at her head during this moment? Someone has to be there to block it. And so, yeah, she's definitely going to be. Oh, but I think she's going to have a meltdown. She's either going to have a meltdown or she's going to like read the F out of them with like receipt and X, Y, and Z.
She has been online. People have been like, good luck at the reunion, girl. And she's been like, I'll be fine. So who knows?
Who knows?
I can't wait to see their reunion looks.
Oh, I know. Well, I wonder what the theme is. Is it going to be jail?
Jacob.
I wonder.
No, it's usually glitter. Glitter usually is what they wear for Salt Lake City because it's snow. So they wear
it's a new theme every season with the Housewives. It's based off of like a monumental thing that happened. And I don't remember what last year's, because it was at a log cabin. And it's very loose in my mind. But I'll be down for a little chain gang reunion look. You know, see how the women turn out. That's such a RuPaul like runway look, to be honest. Isn't that such a RuPaul runway look? Chain gang. That's so dumb.
Yeah. What if they do it like the feds are a beauty lab? Like, that's the theme.
That's the theme. What are you wearing? I can't wait.
The feds are a beauty lab. What do you wear? What do you show up wearing?
Literally.
Oh my God. What if they do it in the beauty lab parking lot?
That's so stupid. Honestly, though. With tents, yeah.
Okay, all right. We've let this go on for too long, Jacob. We need to wrap this puppy up. So let's do some tea time. Ready?
Wait. I finally have water. Hold on. Well, last time I used water, I coughed it up. How was that?
This sounded horrible.
Did it?
Okay, so last night, Meredith tweeted and she said, I later talked to Mary one-on-one in hopes that would be productive. I also made sure Jenny knew that she has my support. Please be patient. And Mary responds on Twitter and says, really, Meredith? You had a conversation with me hoping it would be productive? You was there. You seen I was coming from a place of a compliment. Stop acting like you're teaching me. You have your own issues to be productive on. You never have the right answer. Switzerland. And then somebody else replied to Meredith's tweet and said, LOL, you'd get more of a productive conversation out of a brick wall rather than to talk to Mary. And Mary wrote him back and said, and you look like a brick wall.
She's so stupid. She's so stupid. Oh my gosh. When I saw this, I was like, because as a duo, I like them. And it's a very unique, quirky friendship. And I just feel like they have each other's mm-hmm. back. But I feel like Mary was in a super offensive mode yesterday. She knew what was coming. She knew what this episode was.
Mary was going to this moment, Jacob, she's been going off on Twitter still.
And I feel like Meredith didn't even like that response. Wasn't even bad or wasn't even something that should have evoked a negative reaction out of Mary. Oh, you're hanging on to every little word that you don't like. Like it was a tweet, Meredith, your friend. Like, oh, you don't have like, is Mary a good friend? No, Mary's not a good friend. Cause I don't think Mary is looking for any moment to say all this shit about you. And she called her Switzerland. She said, you never have the right answer. She said, oh, you have your own issues to be worried about. Like this isn't just something that appears to your mind right now.
And use all of the negative things that she probably knows has been said about Meredith that has hurt her. You know, like she's been using all of these things that she knows probably have hurt her against her. But like literally 3 hours ago, somebody tweeted and said, waiting on Mary Cosby to post an apology to Jenny and excited to see which fonts and wedding invite format she's going to use this time. And Mary responded and said, never.
Oh,
and then she said, Meredith said, tweeted, it's not okay to imitate someone's accent. And 3 hours ago, Mary said, Meredith, so you're not going to bring up Lisa Barlow doing Jenny's accent throughout the season? Oh, that's all I'm saying. Where's the realness among these women? At least I'm real. I don't care what people think of me. I have one judge. It's none of these people judging. And then
Lisa Barlow,
Queens of Bravo tweeted, okay, so Queens of Bravo tweeted like a quote of like Jenny saying, Jenny, I want the ladies to witness it when I confront her. And they're like basically praising Jenny. And they say, Jenny's starting off 2022 like a true star. Mary tweets back a thumbs down emoji and says, waste of time.
Mary Cosby's cracked.
This is like the last thing I do think that I should read because I think that there is something to be said about this. We didn't even talk about this moment, but when Mary got there and she was like, this is the worst party I've ever been to. There's no coat check, which was hilarious. So somebody tweeted and said, Mary's a bit harsh just because there wasn't a coat check. It's the worst event. LOL. Okay, lady. And Mary tweeted her back and said, I guess you had to be there. Is there anyone else on this cast you can focus on? Kind of sick of everyone pointed out the only Black African-American on Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. Pay attention to others. There's six other women. We all make mistakes. It's exhausting. Pay attention.
Maybe Mary isn't going to want to come back next season.
I don't think she will. I really don't see a world where she wants to. Because then she also, like, Queens of Bravo tweeted, we're barely 5 minutes into Real Housewives of Salt Lake City and Mary's already mimicking Jenny's accent. And this is what Mary said back. Lisa B did it throughout the season. Mine is the only one that was aired. They can pick all day. I always know what my intentions are. I will never be who people will try to make me. It was okay for Jenny to bring back a gift to me because Lisa told her it was for Jen.
Yeah, I don't think she's going to. I don't think anyone's going to be fired, but she's already have the money. She doesn't need to be on the show. She would just like, this season is really hard. And as we're seeing, when it gets down to it, it's going to probably be hard. And after the reunion, she's probably not going to have the funnest time, especially now beefing with Meredith. So it's kind of like everyone is shooting. Everyone is targeting, you know, Mary Cosby in this instance. And so I don't think she would want to come back to Real Housewives Salt Lake City, but who knows? You know, I don't know how well the check is, but I think for Salt Lake City, the checks aren't that heavy. But yeah, I don't think she would want to come back. I think right now she's kind of like over it.
And there are still 11 episodes left of the season, so like, who knows what's going to appear then? So, you know, we'll just have to see. We'll just have to wait and see. I can't wait to see these reunion looks. Jacob, we should probably let these poor people go. We've been recording for an hour and 24 minutes.
Oh my gosh.
We love you guys. Thank you so much. Jacob, where can people find you?
People can find me.
If they want to tweet us and message us.
Yes. People can find me on Twitter at JacobJ_Jones. Tweet me. I typically, if I tweet really anything, it's a lot of retweets, but I oftentimes tweet photos of myself that you can go and like and look at me.
And you can see his gorgeous skin.
Yeah, yes, you can see my gorgeous skin. Where can people find you, Maggie?
Yeah, so people can find me on Instagram and TikTok at @MLMorgan_. I did recently like do a huge Twitter detox because it was really, really stressing me out, especially because of like the COVID flare-ups. I was just, Twitter is a lot of doom and gloom, and I have a real mostly hate relationship with Twitter, and I'm really trying to get off of it. But, you know, for reality TV, like you have to be on it for like to enjoy. Like if you don't, like when I watched the episode, the first thing I did was get on Twitter and go to the tag. Like, but I hadn't been on it in a week, you know? So, my Twitter is currently private. I'm not going to tweet anything for a long time. If you want to get a hold of me, please DM me on Instagram. Jacob and I love getting messages. Please rate, review on Apple Podcasts. We would love to hear from you. And yeah, I think that's all.
Take, if you, this podcast will be out tomorrow. I will be playing, will you be playing it? And I wonder in the, podcaster mafia, game happening tomorrow. I think I can say it'll be tomorrow. So yeah, I'm playing in the first one. Maggie, which one are you saying?
I'm in the second one.
Oh, Maggie's
I have to work, so I'm gonna get back too late to play in the first one.
Gotcha. Well, yeah, take a look at both of us. I'm typically horrible at, like, I'm good in an in-person game, kind of like I did on YouTube, but I'm horrible when it's like, I'm kind of like mafia games. I'm really bad at it, and so it'll be just me not knowing what the fuck I'm doing, to be honest. But yeah.
So yeah, Jacob will win the first game. I'll win the second game. It'll be Real Housewives rehab up supremacy. It'll be great.
Bye, everyone.
All right. Bye, guys.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
That was so long. Wait, do I hit the square, right?